There are many themes in the holiday of Shavuos, many ideas that are found. I'd like to focus in on really one or two major thoughts. The first is, we know the name of the holiday is the essence. We've spoken in the past about Chag HaShavuot as the culmination of the weeks, Zman Matan Torateinu, the time we receive the Torah, we re-receive it every year, Atzeret, to hold ourselves back from work, the Zman HaKatzir, the time of the harvesting that we still have, to some degree, some agriculture in Israel. All of them have relevancy ad hayom hazeh. The one that seems to be out of place for its message for us is what's found in the Maftir, in the Musaf, in Source 1, uveyom habikurim, ba'krivchem mincha chadasha la'ashem b'shevuol seichem, mikra kodesh yeh lachem komolecha avodah lo tasu. The Chumash calls, one of the names of the holiday of Shavuos is v'yom habikurim, the day of the first fruits. Today we don't have a Beis HaMikdash. We don't have first fruits. And the question we have to ask ourselves is, how is this name relevant for our lives? Our second question, Rav Ribo in Minchas Michal, in source number 2, points out, De kavanat ha-moadot v'yamim tovim hi kedei sheyu Yisrael korim osam nikrei kodesh. The whole point of a yantif, of the Shlosh Regalim, is to be able to have time, litalot b'hem dveikos Hashem, to have time to be able to raise ourselves up in connection to Hashem, be'ava, be'yira, in love, in awe, and the Rishalmi adds, even Cholamoet is there, hasirim basiyas malacha, with certain restrictions on work, even on Cholamoet, so we'll have time to focus on our Torah and service of Hashem. V'im kein aleinu lavin, so now we have to ask ourselves, I understand that Pesach and Sukkot have a whole week. Why is it that Shavuos is nikva liyom echad, or even chutz la'aretz for 2 days, when it's very hard to be able to reach the desired goals in such a short time? How do we understand a one-day yantif? And again, there are many answers to all these questions, and there are many facets to what Shavuos is about. We've spoken in the past about the Yom HaDin. We've spoken in the past that it's a day of judgment for all of our spirituality for the whole year. We've spoken about how we have to have a meal, how we have to show how much we enjoy Torah, and how it is beloved to us. We've spoken about many aspects. I'd like to speak about a different focus this year. And I'd like to focus in on two words, one sentence of the Sichot Yitzchazkut Rav Tzvi Meir Zilberberg in Source 3. We know that on Shavuos we bring what's called the Shtei Halecha. We bring the two loaves of bread. So here he notes, Bet HaKocho, the two loaves of bread, and Lechem also has the idea of Melchama, to art, to struggle, strife, is two different powers within us. And that, my friends, is the focus of what Shavuos is about. Torah v'Tfilah. The learning of Torah, the aspect of Torah, and Tfilah, the service of God. Kol, Kol, Yaakov. The voice is the voice of Yaakov. The voice of Torah and the voice of Tefillah. To better understand this, I'd like to add one nekuda, one more element of introduction, and then we'll look at each aspect. And again, we'll look at least the first from an atypical aspect. Rabbi Karatovsky Zatzal has a beautiful essay in his Sefer, Penetrating Insights into Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot. And he notes, and he really goes in a different direction, but I want to take one of his yisodos and move it and use it for us. Two primary currents seem to flow parallel in the description of the essence of Torah life. Truth and beauty. The mind and the heart. Halachic and agadic. These are the two basic elements that have alternately been referred to as the substance of our faith. A genuine Jewish life surely requires a harmonious combination of the two. When these two currents supplement each other, the result is an ideal life that Hashem commands His people to fashion. And he notes that there are an interesting insight in Chazal, in the Notri Kon, in the acronym found in the Anochi, the first word of the Aseret HaDibrot. Anochi could stand for Amira Ni'ima Kesiva Yahaveh, that is, the Torah, it's a proclamation that the Torah, which is pleasant and sweet, given in writing. And then there's another acronym, which is backwards. Yahaveh Kesiva Namin Amire. I am presenting you with a Torah whose words are true. And the two says Rabbi Kuratovsky are not necessarily in conflict one with each other. The essence of Torah is indeed the combination of the ideas expressed in these two terms. The Torah is ne'aman, it's trustworthy, and it's ne'ima, it's pleasant, it's sweet, and demanding. Continuing in 5, and this is the yesod we're going to work with. These two elements that are to be found, which should be found in each and every mitzvah of the Torah, are symbolized also by the two heroes of the festival of Shavuot. Shavuot is a festival of Matan Torah, and Moshe Rabbeinu is obviously the hero of the drama of Revelation. There are two personas which really reflect the essence of the holiday. Again, not to exclusion. There's also Ruth and Naomi. There are many personalities. We're going to focus it on two. Moshe Rabbeinu, and Shavuot is also dedicated in the honor of David HaMelech, whose yahrzeit, according to tradition, occurs on this Yontif, and the end of Megillat Ruth talks about his genealogy. Moshe Rabbeinu represents halacha. He represents the mind. He is the Chobeti Namanu. He's a trustworthy one. And David HaMelech is described as Ne'im Zmiros Yisrael, a heritage of music and poetry. And really, all of our mitzvot need to have a combination of the two. What is very fascinating, he continues in Source 7, that there is a statement in the Talmud that says, Amar Rav lo abre ibre alma, the world would not have been created, elo lo David. For David HaMelech alone, the world would have been created. Ushmul amar lo Moshe. Machloket, Rav, and Shmuel. Shmuel says, for Moshe Rabbeinu, the world was worthy to be created. And as Rashi notes, for David HaMelech, the Ne'im Zvirot Yisrael, for the songs that he sang. For Moshe Rabbeinu, for the Torah he gave us. Moshe Rabbeinu and David HaMelech are very often interlinked. In fact, the Medrash notes that just like Moshe Rabbeinu gave us the 5 books of the Torah, the Chamisha Chumshei Torah, David HaMelech gave us the 5 books of Tehillim. And there are many other similarities, right? Both were Eitzon, both were shepherds, both are leaders that connect the two together. I'd like to look at Emirat Hashem today, Shavuos being the prototype of Moshe Rabbeinu, the prototype of the call, the voice of Torah, and Shavuos being the prototype of David HaMelech, the Ne'im Zmirot Yisrael, the prototype of the call of Tefillah. Those are the Shtei HaLechem, those are the personalities and the mindset for us for Shavuos. Let's examine Torah. So obviously Torah is about learning Torah. No one can deny that. The centrality of learning Torah, the importance of learning Torah, being amel b'Torah, working hard, and not giving up in Torah, that's clear. I'd like to look at, Emir Hashem today, another facet, which I think is very inclusive to everyone, wherever they are in life, whether they're obligated in 24 hours learning, they're obligated in learning the halachas, they're obligated whatever level, this is an aspect of Torah which is pertinent to each and every one of us. I'd like to begin our study with a beautiful essay of the Sichat Eliyahu Rav Roth Zatzal, who says the following. We know in source number 8, the Chumash tells us specifically in the 4th chapter of Sefer Dvarim, Rakishamer lechalp ushmar nafshecha ma'ot. Be very careful. Pentishkach et advarim asheroi necha. Be very careful lest you forget what your eyes saw. Upen yasur melvavecha kol yemei chayecha. And you should never leave your heart all the days of your life. Vodatim levanecha vlivnei banecha. You have to teach your children and your grandchildren. What? Yom asher amadata lifnei Hashem lokecha b'chorev. The day we stood at Mount Sinai. It's not only an obligation to teach our children and our grandchildren that about the Torah, but there's an equal obligation to teach them about what we would call Mamad Har Sinai, about the experience of receiving the Torah. That, too, has to be. It's one of the Sheish Sechiros, the day that we stood at Mamad Har Sinai. What's the significance of this? What do we learn from this? So he quotes in Source 9 that very parts of that very famous Igeret Teiman that the Rambam wrote. The Rambam wrote to a group of people who were under enormous pressure to convert, and he was giving them chizuk to be able to withstand the pressure and to be able to hold on to their Yiddishkeit. And in this Igeret, in this letter, he writes about the experience of Mamad Har Sinai, and how the Mamad Har Sinai experience is one that's a bore. That's a strength that holds us together. At source number 10, Bamshech Koteva Ramba. If there is an imperative to remember Mamad Har Sinai that Hashem tells us to remember, and we're also warned not to forget it, and we have to teach our children the circle asterisk. And he says, my friends, my brothers, we must raise our children with this experience. And speak about the experience of Mamad Har Sinai. Because Shehu Amud Shamuna Sovevet Allah. It's not enough just to say we got the Torah. We have to also emphasize how we got the Torah. How Hashem opened up the heavens and we saw Ein Od Milvado, there is no one except Hashem. How we saw so clearly the experience of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, the shofar, the kolos, the brokim, that Hashem speaking to us, panim el panim, face to face. And therefore, says Rav Rot in 11, we see from the Rambam, Ki Mamad Har Sinai Irab Ofen Yotzei Dofen. This is a one in a lifetime, one in history experience. V'chozeh b'chdeshek asher yagi adam Yisrael l'ksha'im matzevei mitzukah. And this is because when a person, a group, an individual, nationally, personally, enter into some type of challenge, some type of difficulty. To have challenges, to have tests in our lives. He's able to hold on. He's able to hold on knowing that this is a nisayon that comes from above. That there is a Ribono Shel Olam, there is a Hashem that exists, and that things aren't random, and that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is testing us to see our relationship with Him. But he goes on to say the following, my friends, that the experience of Mamad Har Sinai was not just that we had that opening, that bird's eye view of Atari Tadaki Hashem Elokim Enor Milvado, that there's no one except Hashem. It also, the Rambam points out, Hilchos Yisodei HaTorah, it also opened up for us the belief in Moshe Rabbeinu as being a Navi Emes, a true prophet. Yes, Moshe Rabbeinu did a lot of things for us in Egypt, in the Midbar, and in Kriyas Yam Suf, and Tzlav, and the manna, 100%. But what is the litmus test that we know that Moshe Rabbeinu is true is when all of Klal Yisrael reached the level of Nevuah, of prophecy, and were able to see clearly of HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaking to Moshe Rabbeinu. And therefore, Mamad Har Sinai becomes the place that not only do we believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu as him being true, but we believe in Moshe Rabbeinu as being a Navi Emes. And therefore, this is crucial so that we understand that anything Moshe Rabbeinu teaches us in Torah is coming from a place of Emes. Moshe Emes, Moshe represents truth, v'Torasso Emes. And the Torah he teaches us is a Torah of truth. Lest there should be a doubt in our mind, well, yeah, I saw Hashem, but how do I know the Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu gave us is true? Shavuos represents the time every year, and it actually it's an obligation every day to believe in the Mamad Har Sinai, to believe in the experience, to believe in, to fortify within us, to strengthen within us that truth, the veracity of Ein Od Milvado, there's none other but Hashem. And there is no one on that level, Moshe Rabbeinu, who gave us the Torah, and the Torah is the Torah of truth. The call of Torah, the call of Moshe Rabbeinu, is that voice of recognizing that there is a Kodesh Baruch Hu in this world, there's Hashgacha Pratim in this world, there's a divine providence in this world, and everything that goes on in life is tailor-made by a Kodesh Baruch Hu. If we take a look at just this idea one step further before we bring it more personally to our lives, we know in the arrow in 13 that the word Olam, the word for the world, is Milashon Ne'elam. It's from the aspect of that which is concealed and hidden. Kishimitvonim Anu Babriya, when we look at the world, Ro'im Anachdu Olam Gashmi, we see a physical world, Chomer V'Gashem. Aval Be'emet Shum Davar Gashmi Ein Lo Koch Ki Yom Mitzad Atzmo. Truth be told, nothing physical in this world can exist on its own. Everything that exists is from the Koach HaRuchani, the spiritual Koach that's found in here. And this brings us to a very beautiful idea, that we know that Hashem created the world, Basar Mamaros Nivra Olam, in 10 utterances the world was created. And these 10 utterances correspond to the Aseret HaDibrot, the 10 utterances where Hashem gave off the Torah. This Asara Mamaros, the 10 original utterances to create the world, is the Bria Sa'olam, is the creation of the world. But what allows the Kiyuma Olam, what allows the world to exist, what allows the world to function, is the Aseret HaDibrot, is the spiritual aspect of this world. B'dvar Hashem Shamayim Nasu, the asterisk in 14, U'beruach Piv Kol Tzva'am, Hashem determined that something should exist, and it's in Hashem's will that it's there. And that's why, when the Pasuk says, Ein Tzur Kelokeinu, there is no artist like Hashem, and there's no rock like Hashem, which Chazal learned, Ein Tzayar Kelokeinu, no artist like Hashem, he says, you know what this means? You go outside and you see a tree. So if I would ask you, well, what do you see? You say, well, I see a tree. And I say, you're mistaken. Hashem is such a great artist. It looks like a tree. Yeah, Tak, it does look like a tree. You know what it really is? It's Dvar Hashem. It's the will of Hashem that's manifested in a tree. It's the will of Hashem manifested in the sky, or in the earth, or in anything that's found here. What is our challenge in this world, my friends? Our challenge in this world is to be able to see that everything that exists in this world is because Hashem wills it. It's as if in 16, Mamad Har Sinai, we went back to Bria Sa'ola, like we went in a time capsule, and we saw Achein Atah Kel Mistater. We saw that Hashem is hidden, that He's been hiding in this world. And now, suddenly, in Mamad Har Sinai, Atah Nigleisa B'Anan, Hashem reveals Himself and says, you see the whole world? It's me. That's the Ne'elam, all the hiddenness. I'm here. I'm behind everything. And Hashem did this for us for one reason. And that is in 15. Aval tzrichim atem liskor heitev mashra'itim b'mamad Har Sinai. It's as if Hashem is telling them and us, because all of our neshamas were there, remember what happened in Har Sinai. Because that knowledge that Hashem is in charge, I'm here, I'm behind the world, I'm behind every tree, I'm behind every molecule. It is what enables us to be able to live in this world. Double underline in 15, lavort kol achoshech, to be able to get through all the darkness, ekol nisyonos, all the challenges, all the difficulties in this world, when I know that things aren't random. One of the hardest things for a person when they go through a challenge is to feel like, you know, my name was picked out of a hat, and this is like random that I'm going through this nisyon. That's not Yiddishkeit. Yiddishkeit is understanding so clearly that there is nothing random. Yiddishkeit is understanding so clearly that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in charge. And every molecule and every single thing that happens to us, down to the finest detail, Atah Reitel Adat, you showed us. Mamad Har Sinai, Shavuos every year, we strengthens, concretizes this notion. Nothing is by accident. Hashem is found in our world. And that's our challenge. Our challenge is to be able to hold on to this reality. The Sefer Pliny Chaim, Rav Lifshitz, notes this idea, and the Siva Sholem brings similar idea, and he says in the following in 18, one of the things that we find in the description of Mamad Har Sinai is it talks about the people saw the kolos, the voices, the lapidim, the fire, the kol shofar, the sound of the shofar of Etahara Shein, Vayara Amvayanuba Yamdu Merachot, the people saw and stood afar. Listen to this pasuk, this is the key for level one. Vayamoda Merachot, the people stood afar. Moshe Nigash El Harafel, and Moshe came close to the Arafel. Arafel is like this dense fog. Listen to these three words. Listen. Asher Sham HaElokim. This is where Hashem is. Notes the Pnei Chen the following. Life is about the Arafel. Life is about Moshe Rabbeinu represents for us the model, the prototype of how to deal with challenges in life. Life is about where we live in a world of olam, of ne'elam, of hiddenness, of concealment. And you know what our job is? to forge ahead. You know what our job is? To enter into the Arafel. Kabbalah Satorah, the end of 18, Bechol Dor, Bechol Yom, V'yom, Ubiyad Kol Yochid, V'yochid. The Kabbalah Satorah in every generation, every day, every individual, the Tzibur, every community in Yisrael. Yishol Tov Tzorah Kabbalah Tari Shana. It's the same receiving of the Torah over and over again. There's an Anna, there's a cloud, there's an Ashan, there's a Rafael. V'omnam Moshe Nigash al Rafael Asher Sham Elokim. Hachovahi Lifkoa Ba'ad Hachoshech V'Arafael. Our job is to persevere. Our job is to move forward. Our job is to really be able, as difficult as it is, not to give up. V'limso B'kirbo Et Elokim V'Torato. And to find Hashem, and to find Torah, and to find the meaning, and to find the direction. This is echoed so beautifully in the Talner Rebbe's Sefer on Shavuos in 19. He said that we have, you know, Rosh Hashanah coming up around the corner. We have the beginning of Shofros. Bracha, the third bracha of Malchus, the furnace of Jofros. It begins, Atani Gleita Banan Fodecha, you revealed yourself in a cloud, Alam Kotchecha, Ludaber Imam, to your holy nation to speak to them. Mina Shamayim Mishmatem Kolecha, your voice was heard from heaven. Here goes, Vinigleita Alehem Ba'arfale Tohar. And you revealed yourself to them, Ba'arfale, Arafel, we just spoke about, this dense fog, Tohar. And here the Talmud Rebbe points out, Tohar comes from the idea of clarity. Tohar comes from the idea of being able to see, to be able to have that purity. So we have here, Hentarta de Satre, we have a contradiction here. On the one hand, you're telling Hashem came by Arfale in an Arafel in dense fog. And the same breath, you're telling me he came by Tohar, something that is seen, something that is Gilui, something that's revealed. Well, which one is it? Listen to what he says. Next page, source 20. He says, V'nire omek habir b'zeh shemara mar chadav amar mar chadav lo plike. There's no contradiction here. HaTorah HaKadosha is specifically given in this way. It's given in darkness. And we have to realize this because the Ikar Kabbalah HaTorah Nitzrecha, to really accept Torah is to accept it under all conditions. That's what we call Kabbalah's Ol, to take the yoke of Torah. Right? To be able to be a Shomer Torah Mitzvos when your life is easy, and you love to get up early to daven, and you love to push yourself beyond, and you know, you're one of those martyr types who just love to do as much as you can, and you don't mind, you know, all the pressures of your life. That's not human beings. We're stressed. We're pressurized. We have pressures of parnasa. We have pressures of our children. We have pressures of refuah. We have a lot of stresses in our lives. Hashem B'davka wants us to keep Torah, and for Him it's so beloved when we keep Torah under these difficulties. That's the Arafel. The dark cloud is to be able to do Torah and mitzvos, to live a Torah-dicka life when it's not easy. When it means that I have to travel miles to get kosher food, or miles to do a mitzvah. The challenge itself is the Arafel, is the darkness. Or we go through a challenge and we ask, well, how come Hashem did this to me? Do I deserve this? That's an Arafel. That's the darkness. When I'm able, nevertheless, to hold on with emunah tmima, umafkiim godel haster, and I persevere and move forward, and I break through the darkness. As megalim motzim b'toch hanan v'arafel, et godel zocha or ataor v'meir shein l'mala menu. Then you know what happens? We're able to have that breakthrough. We're able to have that Tohar. Kisham Elokim, because that's where Hashem is found. This is our challenge in life. Our challenge in life is Vayerev, Vayibokya. First there was darkness, and then there was light. And Shadavka b'makom achoshech ha'ava kaful b'yoter. Specifically in this great darkness, Daika Sham nimsei shchina. That's where Hashem is found. That's where the great light is. That's where the great Torah is. And we have to realize that this is the message of Maamad Har Sinai. You know, I was thinking, driving to teach this year this morning, that perhaps that's an insight in why we stay up all night, Shavuos night, learning. It's like reliving this. One is going through the whole night, and they're tired, and it's hard, and they're pushing themselves through. And you know what they see? They see the light of day. They're able to see, you know what? I can learn all night. I can push myself beyond. Shavuos is almost reliving the struggle to get to the light. This is one of the greatest gifts that we can take from the experience of Shavuos, to realize that the choshech, the darkness, and particularly in our generations, holech umiskaber, is very intense. Yesh leidan, the asterisk in 22a, shedaika betoch harofel hoset, specifically in this darkness, matsui haor gadol, is found the great light. And our job is to connect to Torah. Our job is to connect to people of Torah, to be able to help us get to the other side. Rav Biederman, in his writings, Be'er HaParsha, notes in 23, a beautiful vort from Rav Elimelech Meluzinsk, the Noam Elimelech, Pasuk says, Hashem said all these words saying, and saying is always extra. Why? Because if it's Vayidaber, obviously it's Leimor. So what's Pshat? Anochi Hashem Elokecha, it's a Leimor. That all of our words that we have to say, everything that we do in life, we have to recognize. Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Enod Mavato. Things aren't accidental. Things aren't haphazard. Things aren't coincidence. Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Hashem is orchestrating every aspect of our lives. And that's why, as the Rush points out, it's Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Shezeisicha Meretz Yisrael, continuing 23, the God who took us out of Egypt. Not the God who created heaven and earth, which is a universal God, but rather a particularistic God, that He is the one who took us out of Egypt. And from here we have to learn, says the Rush, Liftoch B'Hashem Echol Leib. We have to trust in Hashem with all of our heart. And to believe in His Hashgacha Prati. And that way, we're being able to feel that Hashem's presence is always with us. The Hu Pashut, it's simple, the asterisk in 23. Ki kishi amin ba'anochi Hashem Elokecha, when you really believe, not intellectually, emotionally, the entirety of your being, memele yamin ba'ashgacha prati. Then for sure, you'll believe in Hashgacha Prati. As Yishkon Betach Shanan, this should be that Hashem should, then you will be at peace. Ki lo yarach levavo apavu alav hastara, you won't be afraid even when the concealment comes. Ki bemunato yeda shetachar hastara nivzak Kadosh Baruch Hu hamashkiach alav b'chol eid v'rega. Because you realize that whatever happens, it's coming from Hashem. It's all coming from a place of love, and for our goodness. That's what we begin with. It's ne'imus. It's ne'eman. You can be sure that whatever we undergo in life is directed for us specifically, for us to learn from. You can be sure that everything that we go through in life is for our good. You know, Rav Biederman quotes here an idea in 24, we'll do outside, that I found absolutely gefaltic. An idea based on the Chasam Sofer. The Chasam Sofer points out, you know the story, the end of chapter 1, beginning of chapter 2, that Naomi comes back with Ruth to Beit Lechem, and the Pasuk says, Vatehom kol la'ir, the whole city's in an uproar. And Rashi, the Chazal, tell us that the wife of Boaz died, and everyone went out to the funeral. And then the Pasuk speaks about that Naomi says, don't call me Naomi, call me Mara, because Hashem's strict bitterness has come out against me. What's the smichus in Yonim? What's the connection? Notes the Chasam Sofer the following. When Naomi comes back to Eretz Yisrael, she knows she's alone, a widow, with her daughter-in-law who's a widow. Who's going to take care of them? Who's going to be interested in them? But she knew that Gadol adores Boaz, and a relative of hers, and a relative of her husband. For sure, Boaz would look out for them. For sure, Boaz would take care of them. But she wanted Boaz to know that she's back, and she wanted Boaz to know she needed his help. What was Naomi's plan? Naomi's plan was to go to Mrs. Boaz and to tell her, you know what, have a cup of tea, and tell her, we're in a bad situation. Could you ask your husband to keep an eye out on for us? When she came into the city, and as soon as she comes in, Mrs. Boaz dies, she says, I give out! Mara, there is no hope. My last hope, the straw that broke the camel's back. I felt at least here I would have a way to speak to Boaz. Now it's not sneers for me to go talk to him. It's not appropriate. Now there's nothing. Hey, Marley Hashem, Ma'or Hashem has been very bitter against me. I'm stuck. This was like the last straw that she could handle. But not Tzachasim Sofer. Everything Hashem does out of love and for our good. The fact that Mrs. Boaz died was in order for Ruth to marry Boaz, in order to have Oved, who had Yishai, who had David, who had ultimately Melech HaMashiach. So in situations that we feel like I can't go on any longer, I'm in the Arafel, I'm in the dark cloud, move on, push yourself further, do whatever you can do, and you will see Yula Ben Naomi. You will see the Or. You will see the Arfalei Tohar. You'll see that light. Now I can appreciate on this first level of Torah why specifically it's called Yom HaBikurim. The Drash David, Rav David Hostetter, points out, L'chei nitna mitzvah HaBikurim l'lamdenu shafilu dvarim hanirim l'chora kidavar tiviu min hagoshel olam. You know what the Bikurim are about? They're about taking that which is so part of the natural world. Fruit growing every year. It's nothing but, as we saw before, the revelation of God's will that there should be fruit. That a person shouldn't say, look how great I am. But recognize that everything, as the language of the Chinuch says, V'lachshov ki hakol higi elav meid adon haolam, everything is a gift from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this is so crucial, my friends, and this is why the Bikurim Parsha Kitava comes right after Amalek. Amalek denies God. And it's right before the Tochacha. It's warning you. You know what? We may not have Bikurim today. You're right. But the message of Bikurim is very much alive today. Recognize Ein Od Mavato. Recognize that there's only one reality in this world, and that is Ritzon Hashem. And this is the pitch, the level, that Klal Yisrael got to at Mamet Har Sinai, where they were able to understand the Darga Gavol B'Yoter Shel Muna, B'Kadosh Baruch Hu B'Torato, that there is none other except Hashem. And therefore, we have to be able to realize that when we speak about the bringing the Bikurim, B'Yom HaBikurim, B'Avichem, right, B'Shtei Alechem, recognize, the Mincha Chadasha, recognize, what it's reminding us of is that every aspect of my life, all the possessions that I have, everything that I own, is a gift from Hashem. And again, it's tailor-made for me. The Lemur is Anochi Hashem Elokecha. It's the Ein Od Milvato. Don't be fooled. Ein Sayar Kelokenu. That I think that I'm sitting in a chair. It is a chair. But it's Dvar Hashem. It's the will of Hashem that this chair should be able to hold me up. Hashem wills that it should hold me up. It will collapse. Have you been on a chair that collapsed? I'm sure you have been. Why? It was Dvar Hashem. It's the will of Hashem. With this we can appreciate notes of Minchas Michal, quoting Rav Yaakov Naiman Zatzal in Derech Musar, why we only have a one-day holiday. The English, similar ideas found in 30. Imagine being on a road, and it's pitch dark, and you don't know where you're going. Sort of make it a little bit more contemporary. You're driving in very thick fog. And you know that you have to turn off to another highway, but you can't even see in front of you, let alone see the signs in front of you. The headlights don't help. You're just caught. And you know, if you don't turn off on the right road, you're just going to be going nowhere or the wrong where. Suddenly, out of nowhere, there's a flash of lightning. And boom. Right in front of you is a sign to turn off right now to the other road that you need. Wow. You immediately turn to that road and know exactly the direction you're going in. That's Shavuos, my friends. Shavuos is that clarity, that light, where you don't need the light for long. It's just able to be that flash of lightning so that we know how to put ourselves on the right path. It's the flash of lightning that reminds us that if we're living life wondering, what am I doing? What's going on in life? Is this really the right path? Am I really suffering for a purpose? Is there a purpose to everything going on in my life? Is there a larger picture? We have one day a year. Obviously, we have to remember my Mamet Har Sinai every day. But but it's a one day with the intensity of the flash. It's a one day of Moshe Nigash El Arafel. He's the personality. Kisham Elokim. It's the day that we have the Tohar. We have that light. We have that clarity. We understand there is nothing in this world aside from Torah. There is nothing in this world aside from Ribono Shel Olam. So I have to realign my entire life to that reality and live a life that's going to reflect that reality and be able to move forward in the challenges in life, recognizing and understanding not only intellectually, but emotionally as well, that reality. So my friends, that's level one. The call, the voice, is a voice of Torah. Obviously learning Torah. On a different angle, it's a voice of Moshe Rabbeinu, the one whose nevuah is proven to be true, the veracity of his nevuah on this day of Mamad Har Sinai. It's Moshe Rabbeinu who represents the personality of Moshe Nigash El Harafel, Hisham Elokim, that he's the one who moves forward. He's the one who teaches us what it means to be able to move closer, to inch forward in those darkness, to realize that through moving forward, through having that sense of emunah, that sense of faith, we will then reach a level of Ein Od Melvado and live a life that's a reflection of this. Our Torah study and our Torah lifestyle are completely uplifted. And then we have a second level, a second personality. The second one of the Shtei Alechem is Tefillah, the call, the voice of davening, of prayer. It's the voice of David HaMelech, who's also a major persona on this day. Notes Rav Meitzlish in Sichos Bavodat Hashem, Source 31. Kfar divarni b'shavua kodem ech she'ikar tzlochos ha'adam b'torah v'avodat Hashem. Spoken about that the key of our success in learning of Torah and service of God, Tuliyava Ofen Kavanat Tfilato, where you are in your tefillah. That's a sinor, that's a conduit to bring Hashem's goodness down, the Shefa down to this world. Indeed, we know the last week of Sfiras Omer, it's Malchus. It's the week of David HaMelech. It's the week of David HaMelech said about himself, Ani Tfilah, I am prayer. And he says, albeit that the learning on Shavuos night is important, and the Kriyas Torah is very important, and the Limud, the learning on different hours, you don't have to learn Shavuos night, you can learn all day as well, and should. Ach b'chol zot dad avodas ha-tfila b'yom hazeh, he gam kein mi'ikre avodas hayom. A key component of the day is the tfila of the day, and he notes, he says, people who stay up all night at the expense of their tefillah, you have to wonder. And that's why there are those who will stay up until dawn, then sleep for 3 hours and go to a later minyan. So they get literally the best of both worlds. And he notes in the double underline in 32, the chematzinu misfarim ekadoshim, d'shevav b'shevavot yesh lo tefillah koach nifla v'skula miyuchedet. The tefillah, the prayer on Shavuos has a tremendous power. Shetasepri lamala, that it makes effects in heaven. Utekabel berachamim uberatzon, that it should be accepted in heaven. And this is for all aspects of the day. Yishpa lavashefa b'chol anyanim, refuos, healing, the Yeshua, salvation. Parnasa barchava, to be able to have a parnasa, sustenance, livelihood, in order to serve Hashem, chayim, tovim, varupim, all of this, daven for our children, daven for Mashiach, daven for others, it's all found in Shavuos. And he notes, and we've spoken about this before, that perhaps if you had to focus in on certain tzilos that should get more of our attention, one of them that the Sfarim point out, the squiggly in 32, is Ahava Rabba. Ahava Rabba is the idea of Mamish Bakasha, the tefillah, the bracha right before Shema. It's Mamish Bakasha. It is the quintessential tefillah to ask Hashem for everything that's connected to a life of Torah. Lilmodu Lalame, to be able to learn and to teach. Lishmor Velasos, to be able to guard, to do. Lekayim, and to fulfill. Kol Divrei Samul Soratecha, all your words of Torah. Va'ereinenu B'Sarasecha, open our eyes to your Torah. V'Dabek Libeinu B'Sosecha, and allow our hearts to be Dabek, to be clinging to you, Hashem. This is what we're asking for. We're asking for love, for awe, all the things that we want are found in the tefillah. And as we've mentioned, there were yeshivas that would be up all night and say this tefillah for 3 hours. Okay, so 3 hours may be a little bit much for us. 5 minutes? Can we give it 5 good minutes? Can we learn about it beforehand? Part of me wanted to even just do a shir and have a rabba today. I did. Take Rav Schwab's Sefer, take any Sefer, and learn what is Ahava Rabba about, and take notes, and really focus in, because this is our bakashas, and our tefillos go straight up. You know, the mushel that Rav Meinzelsch gives in 33, we've talked about this mushel on other occasions. We know that throughout history, when kings would get married, they would make a party, like we see by Achashverosh, and they would give out gifts at the day of their wedding. So imagine the following scenario. A king gets married and he says to the people, whoever wants a request, come to me and your request will be fulfilled. So this one asks for money and this one asks for a house and this one asks for diamonds. Everyone's asking their request. One fellow pushes his way up to the king and he says, if it pleases the king, yes. If it pleases the king, yes. What can I do for you? If it pleases the king, could I have a piece of bread? And they laugh at him. That's what you want? You want a piece of bread? Uv'yom chasunaso, and on the day of his marriage, Chazal say, that's Mamad Har Sinai. Uv'yom simchat libo is the Mishkan. Today's like a day of the wedding. This is what you're asking for? Just for a piece of bread? Limud olame, lishmor lasos, l'kayim ekol divrei tamut artecha be'ava. V'harineinu b'sarasecha, v'tabek libeinu b'sosecha, v'tar libeinu l'avdecha be'emes, v'sabeinu mitzvah. Davin. The other tefillah that has so much power also is the tefillah we'll talk about in a minute of Musaf. V'asiyinu Hashem alokeinu birkas mo'adecha. Hashem carry us a masua like a torch. The bracha of your moed. The bracha, the blessing of this festival. What do we say there? Sab'enu mituvecha, let us be satisfied from your goodness. V'tayir libeinu la'avdecha be'emes, and sanctify our hearts that we should serve you with truth. That we should, as we spoke about 2 weeks ago, to really live a life of emes, of truth. Wow. Now we understand the Yom HaBikurim. The Lekach from Libur of Avram Halevi Shor notes in 34, Shavuot Nikra B'Tara Yom HaBikurim. It's a famous Medrash Tanhuma. We spoke about this many years ago, where the Medrash says, Safag Moshe Ruach HaKodesh, Moshe Rabbeinu foresaw in his Ruach HaKodesh, in his vision, V'ra'ash Beit HaMikdash Atila Echarav, and he saw the Beit HaMikdash was going to be destroyed. V'Bikurim Ativim Lipasek, and the Bikurim were going to be stopped. Amar v'itkin l'Yisrael shiyu mitpalim gimel pamim b'chol yom. And you know what he decided to establish instead? That in place of the Bikurim, what would be our way to connect with Hashem? Is davening 3 times a day. Harei she'inyan Bikurim b'zmanenu b'toch omek ha'galos hi avodah satfila gimel pamim b'yom. You want to know what Yom HaBikurim is about? It's about focusing in on what is the replacement of Bikurim, and that is tefillah. Therefore we learn, by extension, that Shavuos, which is called Yom HaBikurim, hi Yom Tefillah. Zman Mifchazek Bavodas HaTefillah. Our job on Shavuos is not just the call of Torah, it's very much the call, the voice of tefillah. V'yesh l'chol achad l'chazek b'tefillah. It's the time to work on our tefillah. The birkas haTorah in the morning. V'harevna. The asher bachar banu. The entire davening. V'kocho shel David HaMelech lo shalom. Ki David haya mitzio shel tefillah. David said about himself, ani tefillah. And Shavuos is the day David HaMelech was born and died. It's the day, the koach of the day he was born, the koach of David HaMelech, the koach of tefillah. Now we'll add here, my friends, interesting that the Sfarim say that there's some in Yisrael, some people have, to say the entire book of Tehillim on Shavuos afternoon. And if you can't manage to say all 150 chapters, so you get together with a group of friends and you divide it up. You have Tehillim Mechulak, or you can divide it up yourself, and together as a group, as a community, to say Tehillim. This is the day of Tefillah. It's a day of David HaMelech. And it's also interesting in 35, the Pasuk by Korban Tami in Source 35, Bamidbar Kaf Chedvav, notes, Olat Tamir, you should bring the Korban Ola, Korban that's burned every day, Ha'asuya Behar Sinai, as it was done in Har Sinai. So you see that the Korban Tami, the Tefillah, is connected to Har Sinai. Notes here the Sfasemes, Ki Avoda Satfilah Shayach Lomam at Har Sinai. Tefillah is connected in the Pasuk to Har Sinai. V'im came b'yom hazeh shechozer mirim harot shayu b'nei Yisrael l'b'nei Yisrael b'har Sinai. Therefore, today, when we have the same Shavuos, lights and energy of Har Sinai, Mishano Yecholit Lahid v'koach Tefillah Asuya b'har Sinai, we can have this energy, this excitement of the Tefillah that has really established the sources in Har Sinai, and be able to bring that to our Avodas Hashem in all of our Tefillahs during the entire year. And as he notes, the Sichur is Chazkur in 37, daven for everything. Daven for Kishronos, for Kochos, for Dveikos, for Ritzifos, for Otzmada, for Chesha, for Midos. Sky's the limit. It's interesting that Rav Pinkus notes in 38 that the Tefillah of Yantif needs a tremendous amount of focus, and he says, Yadua Mitzvarim HaKadoshim, it's known from the Holy Svarim that Musaf of Shavuos is an Eiratzon, is a time of favor, akin to Ne'ilah on Yom Kippur and to Mincha on Shabbos. These are the three holiest times where you have Siyata Deshmaya, help from above, in your Ruchnias. Rabosai, Shavuos is not just about learning Torah, for sure, but there's another aspect. There's the aspect of David HaMelech. There's the aspect of Tefillah. There's the aspect of Tehillim. There's the aspect of tearing down the heavens in Ahava Rabbah, in the Tara Libeinu. Because once I ask Hashem for Tara Libeinu, Lahavim, Lahaskil, La'asot B'divrei Torah, V'harevna, everything is there. Everything's included in that. And we have to realize that. We have to daven. We have to realize that today the heavens are open and we know Ein Od Mavado, there's none other but Hashem. And He is the one who will grant us our request. But as we noted in Rabbi Kanitovsky in the beginning, it's really not exclusive. It's not Moshe or David. It's not the Ne'eman or the Ne'imus. It's a combination of both. And really, Shavuos is the combination of Moshe Rabbeinu and David HaMelech. Not only was Moshe Rabbeinu the prototype of the Moshe Nigash El Rafael, of moving forward, David HaMelech is also a prototype for that. The Talmud Rebbe in 39, David HaMelech haya besorda b'china shaya mishor mevakech lizkari daika b'yosobat m'merachok. David HaMelech constantly through Tehillim. He's in the Midbar. Mizrael David b'yotob Midbar Yehuda. He's in different places. And he's calling out for Hashem. L'David b'shnato etamo lifnei melech v'yikar shaya v'yalach. That's David HaMelech's life. How can I come closer to you, Hashem? And that's the inspiration of Shavuos. It's the inspiration of Moshe Rabbeinu. It's the inspiration of David HaMelech. That wherever you are in life, Omnam Merachok Hashem Nirali, even if Hashem seems so far from me, Yecholim Lashuv L'Karev V'Yeter Se'ed V'Oz, you can move forward with greater fortitude, with greater strength. And indeed, David HaMelech is so often connected to his kinor, to his harp. As we've seen before, Rabbi Foyer and Tillum Treasury, no matter what David experienced, good or bad, bitter or sweet, failure or fortune, he never ceased praising and thanking Hashem. What was the secret to this ability? Rabbi Yonatan Ivershit, a man who himself no stranger to suffering, writes in Yarus Tavash, the riddle is to be found in his kinor, in his harp. We know that the harp emits the richest sound when his strings are very taut. The harpist then plucks them, stretching the strings even more tightly before releasing them to vibrate. David saw himself as a musical instrument created for the purpose of making music for God, a music which would be made even sweeter and stronger by tension. Crisis tugged at him from all sides. He was torn in every direction by an endless stream of problems and tribulations. While others might dread such difficulty, David himself saw himself as a harp, whose strings must be pulled tightly to make music, and which, unplucked, remains entirely mute. Thus David's approach to affliction is no enigma at all to him. Adversity was not an unwelcome intruder, but rather an essential catalyst for a meaningful life. He sang constantly under all circumstances, for he was delighted that Hashem endowed him with the strength and skill to make the best of every situation. David HaMelech, Moshe Rabbeinu, are models for us of what it means to go into that Arafel, into that darkness, and create beautiful music, and create the Tohar, and create that pristine light. And we also have, my friends, find the synthesis. Not only a David HaMelech is the model of the Torah that we spoke about, Moshe Rabbeinu was also the model of Tefillah. Rabbi Feuer, in a different essay in Tehillim Treasury, points out, and this is Rabbi Shraga Mendelovitz's explanation, that there are three times that we have the appellation Tefillah Le, a prayer of. Tefillah La'ani, a prayer of the afflicted man. Tefillah LaMoshe, a prayer of Moshe Rabbeinu. And Tefillah LaDavid, a prayer of David. All three have different components. The Tefillah La'ani is an afflicted person who surrenders his entire being to the Almighty. A prayer of Moshe, the squiggly line in 41, is the prayer of the intellectual, the analyst, who seeks deep meaning in every word and phrase. And this is what Moshe Rabbeinu represented. And then there's the third and final prayer in the asterisks in 41, and that is the prayer of David. It's more of the internal style than the intellectual. This is the one who has his pours his soul out to Hashem. And my friends, 42, within the soul of every Jew, bottom left source, is a little bit of the spirit of David, a tiny ray of light from Moshe Rabbeinu's mind, and a teardrop shed painfully by the afflicted man. Everyone is capable of introducing into his prayer some of David HaMelech's intense feelings of love and yearning for God, some Moshe Rabbeinu's clear vision, intellectual comprehension, and some of the afflicted man's sense of surrender to Hashem. When all the strands of these diverse prayer attitudes are skillfully interwoven, they form a beautiful prayer glorifying Hashem and drawing man closer to Him. And that, my friends, on the second level, explains why we have a one-day or most two-day yontif. Because we're dealing with a prayer like Chana HaNeviah. We're dealing with a prayer that's going to pierce through the heavens. The prayer of the Tefillah La'ani, Tefillah La'moshe, Tefillah La'davi. It's not a week-long prayer. It's a prayer that's going to be like thunder and lightning that's going to just break through. That's the prayer of Shavuos. It's a prayer of saying, Hashem, I want to be able to be the best Eved Hashem I can be. Ritzoneinu, Liro, Malkeinu. I want to see you. I want to have a relationship with you. I want to feel you. I want to be able to live a life dedicated to you. That type of tefillah, the tirely beinu la'avdecha be'emet, the tefillah of Ahava Rabba, to feel Hashem's love. That tefillah breaks through all the heavens. That's the tefillah of Shavuos. My bracha, my friends, as we conclude this shiur, and I'd like to mention at the end of this shiur, in a few hours will be, Mirtz Hashem, the 17th yortzeit of my mother, Allah Shalom, the learning, the growing, the small changes and the small things that we do on Shavuos should be Leilui Nishmata Chana Barav Avraham David. My bracha to all of us, my friends, is the following. That on Shavuos, as well as all year, but particularly on Shavuos, we should feel like that our filet tohar, that the darkness that we're surrounded in by whatever challenge we're undergoing in life, Shavuos, we should have that clarity of that light, that lightning that tells us exactly with a deep understanding of what path we're on and which path we need to be on. That Shavuos should form for us that tohar, that light, that clarity, that Moshe Rabbeinu nigash al Arafel kisham helokim, to be able to feel Hashem's presence coming down at that moment. And I also bend to all of us, my friends, asher sham helokim, that this is where Hashem is. I also bend to all of us, my friends, that our tefillahs for ourselves, for Am Yisrael, for Mashiach, for David ben David, for just being able to connect to a life of Torah, should be answered for us and for all Klal Yisrael Latova, that our struggle and supplication should be one of bracha, and we should feel the divine goodness in all of our lives.